Hey there, I'm Amanda, a Southern mama with big city sensibilities. I'm the girl that took a daydream and built a profitable virtual assistant business all in the middle of a global pandemic. Now, I work from home alongside some of the biggest bloggers and influencers while running a six-figure online business. I'm taking you along for the ride as we dive into business, marketing, strategy, and real life as a female entrepreneur. I'm all about simple, easy, actionable steps that get real results. This podcast is for the dreamers, the doers, and the go-getters. So let's kick imposter syndrome together and pull back the curtain on how to actually make money online. Get ready as we dig in, do the work, and tackle those big dreams I know you've been dreaming up. This is the Bold Business Podcast. Lindsay, welcome to the Bold Business Podcast. I am so excited to chat with you today. For those of our listeners who may not know Lindsay, I am going to let her introduce herself. You guys are absolutely going to love her. We've been chatting away before we hit the record button, and it's been a good 20 minutes of nonstop conversation, so much so that I was like, oh, I guess we should probably hit record. So Lindsay, tell us who you are and a little bit about what you do.
Okay, well, hi. Amanda, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited. And like you said, we've been chatting now for a good 20 minutes and it's been so fun. It's always just so nice to connect with other people in this space. So thank you. Okay, about me, it's so funny, right? People have such good ways of narrowing down who they are, but it's so weird to describe yourself, I find, even at this stage of the game. But I'm Lindsay Stead, and I am a business coach and mentor for female business owners who are really looking to get comfortable, get confident, and take their business to the next level. My whole thing is that, you know, you're going to see people telling you, look, you need to build your business doing 1, 2, 3. And I'm just over here saying, yes, but also we could do it A to Z. You know, there's always a different way. And I just want to embolden you to show up as exactly who you are. And that includes the services that you're offering and where you're offering them and just everywhere in between. I want your business to be fun again. I want you to fall in love with your business.
Oh my gosh, I love that so much. And I love that you are all about making business fun because I personally think business is so fun. It's like an adult playground and you get to let your mind wander. And if it's not that way, then I feel like exactly what you said, let's make it that way. And it doesn't have to look like 1, 2, 3. It can totally look like A to Z just based on whatever is best for you. So tell me a little bit about that evolution, stepping into that role of being a coach. How did you get started in the online space and what did that look like and how has it evolved into what you do today?
So this is a big question. I feel like I have so much to say. So I've been in the online space for probably just over 5 years now. And when I started, I had a baby and I had a toddler. So I often joke that I was like the queen of building my business between nap times, play dates, and Paw Patrol episodes. And it was so much fun. But so I guess if I were to like wind it back even just a little bit further, I had been an ABA therapist for the local school district and I'd been doing that for 5 years. I'd been working with kids. I'd been working with teens, children with special needs for just over 10 years. And honestly, I was so burnt out. I found myself when I was pregnant with my first daughter, I found myself in a work situation that was not safe. And so I left essentially. When I got pregnant, I decided that it was not worth the potential damage that could happen, the danger that the baby and I were in every day. And so I left that job. And I had my baby, did some childcare for a friend of mine, and then had my second baby. It was around then, you know, I was getting antsy and wanted to do something. I love my kids. I'm so grateful that I get to be with them the way that I do. And I also knew that I needed to do something for me and for other people. I needed an avenue to be creative. I needed an avenue to be strategic. I really just craved that. And I also really hated pretend play. So the kids being like, let's play with dolls was my nightmare. And
That is so funny. I'm the same way. I'm like, oh, look at the car go.
I know. I'm like, okay, but like, that's not real. It was funny. But so I started to really think about what was important to me in a business or in a career and in my life. And so I really reverse engineered it because I find it so overwhelming to think about all the options. And I knew that the creativity, the strategic piece, and helping other people and being my own boss were really some of the core things that were important to me. I also, you know, this sounds so naive, I'm sure, but I just wanted to make a really positive impact on other people. I wanted to help them. And I wanted to do it in a way that meant something to them and to me. So when my sister-in-law decided to open a restaurant, I said, I actually was nervous about being asked to invest in it. And so I offered to build them a website just as like a get your business off the ground, you're getting started, new business gift. So I built them a website. And as I was doing that, I just naturally took over their social media for them because they didn't have the time. They didn't really know what it was. If I'm being honest, I barely even use social media for myself at that point, but I started to do it for them. And I actually was really good at it, which is it was so bizarre to me. And so I started landing them all of these free publicity opportunities. So collaborations with foodies that were local, features in local and national magazines and newspapers. And so all of these opportunities and buzz started to happen. And I thought, wow, you know, this is really fun. I could do this. And so at the time I was in Rachel Peterson's Social Media University, and somebody posted looking for a web designer intern. And so I applied, and there were about, 100 people. And I was one of the ones that got chosen. And so I think there ended up being 5 of us chosen. And I was so floored. I did not in a million years think that I would get it. And I am not like an outwardly emotional person. And I got the email that I had been chosen while I was out for dinner with my girlfriends. And I'd had a couple of glasses of wine. And I honestly started to cry in the restaurant, which is not my style. So that was really how it all started. And so I did. I took that internship. And Georgia Mountford Blake, she's amazing. She taught me everything really that I could ever have imagined or hoped for. And I still work with her actually. I'm helping her out right now with some projects, and I will always be grateful to her for giving me my start. And so I started as a general VA before niching down into web design and social media marketing.
I love that. And you know what? I don't think I knew that you started out as a VA. So that is so cool. I love a good fellow VA. And I feel like I also just have to like commend you for feeling confident enough to leave like a secure 9-to-5 type job to put your family first, but then also recognizing too that you had this fiery passion that was sort of like bubbling under the surface and you just went for it. You're like, you know what? I'm going to build you out a website. And you know what? I'm going to apply to this internship even if I don't get it, because what do I have to lose? And just think like all of those sequence of events led you to where you are today, which is so cool.
Yeah, I am so grateful, honestly. And one of the catalysts for leaving that 9-to-5, and like you said, I mean, it's the job that so many people are coveted, or we're taught that these are the types of jobs you need. You get paid vacation time. You are a Monday to Friday schedule. And for me, because it was the school, it was like a 9 to 2:30, 9 to 3 work day. So a shorter day, you got the benefits, the RRSPs, all of the things that you're told that is what a successful job is. And I had been in it and I'd been doing it. And this was really sort of that final straw for me, is at the time my stress was manifesting by making my face swell up. And so I was at work and I was walking down the hallway and another colleague stopped me in the hall and said, "Lindsay, are you okay?" And I said, "Oh yeah, I'm fine." I'm like, "Why?" And he said, "Well, do you want me to call you an ambulance?" And I said, "Well, why?" And they said, "Well, your face, I mean, I think you're having an anaphylactic reaction." And I said, "Oh no, that's just the stress of this job." And I took a selfie later that night and I sent it to my mom and dad. And my parents texted me back and said, "Lindsay, who is that?" And I said, "It's me, mom, it's me." And like my own parents didn't recognize me because the swelling and the stress was so bad. And so I just knew that I couldn't keep doing that.
Yeah, that is so sad. And also, I feel like if it were me, I would have that picture like somewhere as a reminder of like, look how far I've come.
Yeah, that's such a good idea. I've actually wondered about going back to find it, but I have such a ridiculous amount of pictures on my phone.
I know, you'd have to scroll past all the cute photos of your kids.
Totally. Yeah, although at least I know the rough time period. And actually, that's such a good point because it would have been about 10 years ago. So to think about where I was 10 years ago versus now, it's just completely different. I'm so grateful.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a wild, wild time.
Yeah. Okay. So you started out in social media and design. Tell me a little bit how that has evolved into sort of the mindset and coaching work that you do today.
Yeah. So I was in business that first year and I was booking lots of clients. Things were going well, but I was not charging enough. But I had made myself a promise. And this is something that I hope all of your listeners, everybody out there listening, will really heed because it's still the best thing I've ever done for myself in business. That first year in business, I made a promise to myself that I would say yes to any opportunity that came my way that did not violate my morals or ethics. So it could scare the heck out of me, but as long as it didn't go against anything that I actually believed in, I promised myself I'd say yes. And I did. And so in 1 year, things just snowballed in the best possible way. I was headhunted on LinkedIn, a platform that I barely used, to teach at a local college to go in and be their regular social media marketing instructor. I grew my business. I went from having a VA, or sorry, I went from being the only VA to having a VA, and then we were still booked out. And so then I started running internships and hiring more people. And just every single time I brought more people in to support the business, we just kept booking back out, which was wonderful. Because my philosophy on it was always, why say no to a client when I could just build outwards, right? I could build the business and expand the business and keep saying yes to these clients. And so it really pushed me and challenged me to grow and to get uncomfortable and to be okay with being uncomfortable. And it really helped me develop a huge amount of self-trust, which is so critical, in my opinion, when it comes to building your business. So I was going through all of that and I was doing all of that. And I had some amazing clients and I had some terrible clients. And then we let go. We released the terrible ones and filled them with better ones. And things were just growing and growing. But I also could tell that, again, I was getting kind of squirrely. And it was because in like my heart of hearts, I knew that the thing that I loved the most was getting into other people's businesses, digging my hands in and really supporting them in that more like intimate setting on that really personal level. And I felt like me, and this is not a knock on anybody who is scheduling content, it just was not for me. And so I was like frustrated that I was spending hours scheduling content for all of the clients when I felt like I could be making such a bigger difference and more of an impact with my clients if I could just get into their business and really help them with their strategies. And so I really, that started to shift for me internally. But I doubted it for so long. I made myself sort of put it in the parking lot, if you will, because I didn't want to be somebody who had, you know, perpetual shiny object syndrome. So I made myself wait for about 2 years.
I think that's incredible because, well, for one, I think everybody kind of starts there doing the implementation. And in a sense, I feel like you almost have to, because you have to like do the things before you can pass it off and let it go. And it also gives you like a greater appreciation for the people that also do the implementation. But I love that you are so in tune with yourself and your needs to be able to recognize, okay, this is great. There's absolutely nothing wrong with being a social media manager, but I really want to make a greater impact. And the only way I'm going to be able to do that is if I pull myself out of the implementation and propel myself into this new role. So I'm excited to hear about kind of what that looked like as you transitioned into that new role.
It was a rough transition. I'm not even going to lie. It was a hard pivot. And it was so interesting because I think it is important to me to have like that time doing that implementation and that execution, really being in the world and immersed in it so that you can get a solid sense of how it all works. To me, I don't want to hire coaches who don't understand what I'm doing, right? To me, there's a huge benefit in that experiential learning as well. And so I kept doing it all and, you know, tweaking things. I was very, very good about getting rid of the tasks that were on my plate that I didn't enjoy. Scheduling, podcasting, honestly, like uploading the podcast, that was the first thing that went for me. But I think that's also because that my client was verbally abusive. So I just didn't want anything to do with that anymore. And from there, I really focused on making sure that not just for myself, but my team, that we were in charge of the parts that we loved, because I wanted everybody to be happy. I didn't want an unhappy, miserable team, but I also didn't want to be unhappy or miserable myself. So it was quite a transition. And I would say the biggest thing in hindsight, the biggest difference and the thing that made it so much more difficult building the coaching over the digital marketing and web design collective was that with the coaching, I didn't trust myself. I didn't tune into my intuition the way that I did with the first business. I really deferred to the experts and to the, you know, quote unquote experts, the other coaches. And so I really held what they said and the people that I was working with. I took everything they said to heart, and it actually created a lot of work for me to undo because I spent so much time second guessing myself and feeling less than, feeling like I shouldn't have been a coach. I wasn't ready to be a coach, or I didn't know all the things. I couldn't, how could I support my clients? And so that was a huge thing and something that I tell people openly and honestly. And I always hope, you know, don't ignore your intuition. Listen to your gut. It knows the right thing to do and it knows what to do. You don't need to have all the steps figured out. You just need to know the next one in front of you.
I love that so much. And also, thank you so much for just being so honest about your transition and saying, you know what, it was not a smooth transition, because I think it's so easy to look at people that are, you know, 2-3 steps ahead of you. And let's say somebody is aspiring to be in the same place that you are in your business right now and say, oh my gosh, this was probably so easy for her. She decided to be a coach and all of a sudden she was overnight success. And that obviously is not the case. And I honestly don't think it's the case for most people. I think we all fumble a little bit. But what I love that you said is that you really had to shift your mindset. And I'd love to hear a little bit about how you went about changing your inner dialogue from one that sounded kind of negative, and it sounded like you were beating yourself up a little bit, probably for no good reason, because I know you're amazing. And and how you really went about changing that, and when you realized, wait, these are lies that I'm telling myself. These are not true. And what is true is X, Y, and Z.
You know, I would say, it just to be totally blunt, my coach fired me. I was working with a coach. I'd invested thousands and thousands of dollars. And one day she said, you know what, Lindsay, you're not coachable. Here is your $10,000 back. And I... Again, even though here we are, I've just said I'm not an outwardly emotional person, I was bawling. I was devastated. I am such an introvert. I am a people pleaser. I am a highly sensitive person. It felt like I had let her down. And it had come out of the blue. Like, we've been working together for months. And so it was an interesting and very difficult experience for me to go through. And I did, I mean, once I sort of calmed down, I was trying to rationalize it and I was trying to understand it, as we often do, right? Like, as humans, we like a reason. We like to understand. And because I generally have some good intuition, I actually, my intuition is usually quite good. And so I just had this feeling that it was actually not about me, especially because she and I had been working together for months prior, and I had worked with another coach before her, and I've worked with coaches since. And I have never been told that I'm not coachable. I generally am very open-minded. I'm very open to input and feedback. And so it was so out of left field. And I just thought, you know, like, there had to be something else going on. And I had a theory. I know I'm not naming this coach, but just for the sake of their privacy, I will not disclose what I thought the actual issue was. But I will say that I was right. It did come out a number of months later that what I suspected was the actual reason, and the reason that she was struggling to work with me, was in fact the reason. And it was nothing personal. It had nothing to do with me. It was just circumstance. And so I'm telling you this too, because that was really when I had to work on my mindset. And so that was kind of the start of it all. And I had always been a personal development person. I loved that side of things. You know, even as a teenager, it was something that really captivated me. But in my 20s, I kind of dropped it. I lost it. And so that was the catalyst for me really picking it all back up. So I started doing, you know, cognitive behavioral therapy. I started meditating. I started reading personal development books and podcasts. And so it was really... And I mean, I'm still doing all of that. I mean, the amount of like Oracle decks I now own is laughable. And I have them all. And, you know, it really was, I really had to challenge myself. I've done hypnotherapy. I've done all of these things to just get really honest with myself and understand why I am triggered the way that I am, where some of these thoughts come from, how to change them. And so it is, I mean, it's a full-time job. It is a full-time job, but it also really came through learning how to accept a compliment and positive feedback, and learning how to surround myself with the right people, people who also share these ideologies and people who are interested in some of these similar things, and who are, I hate to say the word empower because I feel like it's such a buzzword, but who really are there for you. You know, these true people online, offline, wherever, who are there and they're going to support you, and they are going to, you know, go through the trenches with you. It was such a game changer, and allowing myself to just be open and vulnerable and say, like, this is me and I'm not perfect. I'm working on myself. And we just, every day we get to commit to ourselves to working on that mindset. And it, you know, some days it's easier than others.
Yeah, absolutely. And I personally am a huge fan of personal development. Probably like in a nerdy way that I care not to admit. But I know to some people that may be listening, personal development may seem kind of like old school. They're thinking like, you know, Tony Robbins conferences and that kind of thing. And there's so much more to it. If you could name even just like one or two game changers that somebody could implement today, whether that is like something that you do or maybe something that you've done that's worked well, what advice would you give to our listeners if they're wanting to get started sort of in that personal development space so that they can work on their mindset?
I would say there are endless ways, of course. So looking at what you enjoy. One of the things that I've found to be true is that if you're struggling to figure out what it is you like now or how you learn or how you process information, anything like that, anything about yourself, think back to your childhood and reflect on what you did. Were you somebody who really loved to listen to music? Were you somebody who loved to read? Were you somebody who loved to write? Or watch a movie, all of these things you can now pull from and you can find a way to integrate them into your personal development and mindset work going forward. So for me, I have always loved writing. My dad thought he at one point wondered if I'd be a songwriter when I grew up. And so I bought some journals. And admittedly, I don't write in them as often as I could. But so instead, I also downloaded an app that is like a journaling app and I can speak. So I can just like verbally record my journal entries. I'm not shallow, but I do love pretty things. And so some of these beautiful oracle decks, I love them and I love the prompts and the questions that they ask. And so I'll go through some of those sometimes and just sit and relax and reflect on them. I'll make jewelry. I love making jewelry. So I'll make jewelry while I'm listening to an audiobook so that my hands are busy and I'm also processing what the author or the narrator is saying. So I would say my favorite things have been breath work. I love breath work. I also am a big fan of meditating. If anybody out there is interested in sensory deprivation tanks, like the float tanks, I love them. I try to go every other week. I am obsessed. And then when I'm in there, I do breath work and I meditate. And it's just like, it's so glorious. And the other thing that I do is I know that in order for me to like process emotions and process things, music is such a key for me. So I listen to music. I listen to music almost all the time. And then I found actually podcasts as well, Catherine Zinkina from Manifestation Babe. And I find her podcast episodes to be really inspiring. I get a lot out of what she says. So just kind of dipping your toes in, maybe put up a poll in your stories, ask people, you know, what are your favorite personal development books or podcasts, or, you know, what has helped you with your own personal growth? Ask your audience. It's a great way to start some conversations.
Yeah, absolutely. I love too that you said really thinking about going back to your childhood and what lit you up when you were a kid, because I feel like so oftentimes us as adults, we get wrapped up in the day-to-day of the laundry and the dishes and I have 10 minutes, so let me mindlessly scroll social media. Or if you're like me, you're like, oh, I need to be productive 24/7. And I think, you know, taking a second to just be still and be with your thoughts can be so helpful, because I know this is something that I've been doing, is seeing when you are still, even if it's super hard, when you only have 5 minutes and you're, you know, you have to go hide in the bathroom from your kids or whatever, then seeing what thoughts pop into your head, because I think a lot of times that's a really great indicator of where our mindset is. What are like the first 5 thoughts that pop into your head? And then choosing to either accept them and grab them or like let them pass and be like, nope, that is false. That is not true. And really work on controlling like what those thoughts are and seeing what that inner dialogue looks like, so that next time you do have one of those negative self thoughts, that you can say like, nope, not true. Let me replace it with something else.
Oh my gosh, yes. I think it's so important. And I mean, 5 minutes, right? That's all you need sometimes. It's great if you have longer, but like you said, you know, we often will just sit down and scroll mindlessly on social media. But think about if you're sitting down and scrolling social 10 minutes at a time, you know, four times a day, that's 40 minutes. And think about what you could have done with that 40 minutes. And there is, I'm not saying that you need to ditch all of the mindless scrolling, because at a point, it's also great to, you know, just have that reprieve. But we often hear from people, from moms, from women, from everybody, oh, there's not enough time. I don't have enough time. Do you not have enough time, or are you not prioritizing the way you want to spend your time? And, you know, it's a hard question to be honest with yourself about at times, but I think it's worth asking. And the other thing actually as well, in addition to, you know, you saying sit for 5 minutes and be still and see what thoughts come up. The other thing I find interesting is notice where you're placing judgments on other people and dig into why you feel like you need to judge them on whatever that is. Yeah. So if you are judging somebody for having, you know, like being on reels and dancing around and you're like, oh my gosh, that's so obnoxious. You look like a fool. Why does that trigger you? Why are you judging them? What about it? Is it because you wish, like deep down, do you wish you could have that level of confidence? Do you wish you could feel free enough to do that? Where is that judgment coming from?
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. I think it was my mom who told me this. Of course, you know, moms know it all. It was a couple of years ago. It was before I started my business. And I'm like, you know, telling my mom, like, I feel like I should be doing something, but I don't know what it is. And like, I just need it to come to me. And she's like, well, tell me who you're most jealous of, and I'll tell you what you should be doing. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, that is really funny logic. But there's so much truth to that a lot of times, because I think recognizing having those negative feelings, like you said, and then really asking yourself like that hard question of like, okay, but why do I really feel this way? Is there something more to it? Is it that I'm feeling jealous, or I wish I could do that, or, you know, whatever the case may be? And I think too, just since we're on like the social media topic, it can be so easy to fall victim to sort of like that imposter syndrome too. Like, you know, we get on social media and a lot of times we follow people who are similar to us in the same niche, other moms, other business owners, and we start to let those sort of negative self thoughts again creep into our head and into our mind, saying like, you're not good enough and you're not meant to do this. Do you have some tips of like how to overcome that and what to do when those thoughts sort of creep into your head?
I'm sure this is going to come as a shock, Amanda, but I have opinions on this. Okay, first of all, I love your mom already. I don't know her. That's the only thing I know about her, but I feel like that was such a good way of looking at the jealousy, and then her telling you what to do. And so I will answer your question, but I have to know, did your mom tell you to be a VA? Did your mom tell you to start a business?
So it's so funny, because I was like, well, I feel like I'm like kind of jealous of like influencers. Like, I feel like their life is so cool and they're like running these online businesses. But I told her, I was like, the idea for me of like showing up online every day is intimidating. Like, I am kind of a private person. I didn't want to like put my whole life on the internet 24/7, which I feel like there are definitely multiple ways that you can run an influencer business. But at that time, that was sort of like the way that you got started. Was it was very much Instagram stories and outfit sharing, and that was sort of like the original influencer. And I was like, I like that, but I want to do the business side of things. And like, fast forward a couple of years, here we are. I run a virtual assistant agency for bloggers and influencers. So it's kind of like the best of both worlds. Like, I get to do the creative side of things. I get to have my hand in the influencer industry, but I'm not required to show up online 24/7 to keep my business going, which is perfect for me.
I love it. And yeah, I mean, I do. I agree. I feel like that is the best of both worlds. And I'm similar to you. I didn't want to put my whole life on blast. fast for everybody to see everything all the time. And so good for you. Good for you for doing it.
Well, thank you. I know that's part of why I love podcasting, because currently I have like a bun and no makeup on, and it's all good because nobody can see my face.
But your face is gorgeous. So I think even without the makeup and with the bun, I actually, okay, this is going to be a total side note, but I remember early in my days, and this got in my head, so I think it's a good thing to share. This got in my head in my early days as a VA because I had applied to work with an agency and I had booked my interview, and then I got an email reminder about the interview. And in that reminder, it said, first impressions matter. If you want to have your hair in a bun, that's your decision. And so actually it was really funny because then when you sent me the email ahead of our recording today and you said, you know, this will just be audio, no need to change any of your sweatpants. Yay. I was like, just, it reminded me, it took me back to that email. And I honestly, for way too long, I let that email, that one little, it's all it takes, right? Like one seed that has been planted, and I did not get on client calls with or potential client calls, discovery calls with people if my hair was in a bun. And even now, I still almost always wear my hair down.
That is so interesting. That's just
because I learned how to do it. But yes. And it was so stupid. It was like, some people rock a bun. Think about all of the fashion, like all the fashion shows. People wear buns all the time.
Yes, I love a good like slick back bun. I think there's like nothing more chic than that, right?
I know. Anyway, so yes, it was, it's just interesting because it doesn't take much in this online space from people, you know, going back to what we were about to talk about, where it doesn't take much from people we don't even know to make us feel insecure or like we are doing something wrong or we have to do things a certain way.
Yeah. And it's so interesting because if you really think about it, like we put these rules on ourselves, like who's mm-hmm. to say that, like we said, a bun isn't chic, you know, like maybe a bun isn't messy. Maybe a bun is chic and professional. I think it just all depends on the lens that you're looking at and your frame of mind and how you think about things too. Cause a lot of times, you know, something will come our way and we're like, oh my gosh, like this whole day is derailed. As opposed to thinking, well, that's unfortunate, or that wasn't a great 15 minutes, or you know what, maybe this is happening for me for a reason and not to me, and really just like sort of shifting our mindset around things.
Yes, definitely. And by the way, having a bun in our hair doesn't make us less capable or competent with our jobs, with our businesses.
Exactly. Oh my gosh, yes.
But it's true, right? And so, I mean, I know we were going to talk about imposter syndrome and comparison, and it can be hard, right? So, I mean, first of all, if you are following people on social media who make you feel like garbage, unfollow them. I mean, explore why they make you feel that way. And then if it's something that you feel like is just going to continue, just unfollow them because it's not worth it. It's not worth it. I mean, it's your happiness, right? Your mental health. It's not worth sacrificing that. And it might not seem like a lot at once, but it will slowly chip away because how many times do people check their Instagram, for example, in a day? Probably 10 on average. It's a totally made up number. But, you know, people check their Instagram. And if every single time you're checking your Instagram, you're seeing somebody or something that's making you feel like garbage, you're making the choice to allow that to happen 10 times a day, every day. That's 70 times in a week. It's too much.
Yeah, I agree. And it's interesting because, you know, I'm sure you've heard the saying, like, you're a collection of like your five closest people. Well, I think about Instagram, and a lot of times I know personally when I use the app, the first thing I do is check Instagram stories. And usually as busy moms, we don't have a ton of time. So a lot of times we check like our five favorite people and then we move on with our day. And I think like taking inventory of how you're feeling after, you know, you scroll, whether you're scrolling through the feed or you're watching an Instagram story or checking out a reel or whatever, and seeing like, does that content make me feel good? Do I feel uplifted? Am I feeling energized? Do I feel bad about myself? Like I'm not being a good mom, or maybe I didn't get enough done today because I didn't wake up at 5:30 like this other person did, you know, like really taking inventory of how do I feel? And is this beneficial to me? Because if we think about like that concept of being a accumulation of our five closest people, I definitely think that applies to Instagram because like we're consuming that content. So like we are the content that we're consuming. If we're consuming negative content, then like likely those same thoughts are going to be floating in our subconscious.
Yes, definitely. And I haven't finished it, but I started taking the Manifestation Babe Academy with Catherine Zenkina, and she's talked about how the subconscious doesn't process the negatives. So, or I'm paraphrasing, so please don't, you know, attack me. But, you know, so if you are saying to yourself, like, oh, I don't want to be like my mother. Well, what your subconscious is hearing is I want to be like my mother. Mm-hmm. Right? Like it drops the negative. And so if you are saying, if you're thinking, if you're scrolling Instagram and you see somebody trolling somebody and you think to yourself, ugh, like I don't ever want to be a troll, an internet troll. So your subconscious is going to drop that negative and you know, you could start telling yourself that you are going to be in an internet troll without even realizing it.
Yes, I know. And that's like the funniest example ever. I love that we're using trolling as an example. But I agree because your subconscious is trying to fill in that gap. So a lot of times, mm-hmm. like we focus on the I want to have X, Y, and Z. I always like use a money example because I feel like that's like easy for people to envision. Like instead of saying like, I want to have $1 million in my bank account, saying I have $1 million in my bank account, your subconscious is going to focus on filling in that gap. So it's going to figure out a way to put $1 million in your bank account as opposed to focusing on the I want to. And then it's thinking I don't have, and you'll never have $1 million in your bank account because your subconscious is, it like can't filter the difference between, like you said, it drops the negative. So I think it's so interesting. And I know we're like getting really deep here. People are probably like, whoa, what is happening?
Where did we take the left turn?
Yes. But so much of this ties back into just being a mom and being a business owner, because if you think about it, our mind is the hub for everything. So it's what makes the decisions to be a good mom and to show up as a good business owner and to take the leap forward of, you know, for you, it was pivoting into that coaching role and being able to impact people at a greater level. For somebody else, it might be taking the leap to first be a virtual assistant, or, you know, start that online business that they've been wanting to, or take the course that they've looked at 1,000 times but haven't invested in yet. Whatever the case may be, I think like really understanding how your mind works and how it powers all of those other decisions is so key. I know, like, even me personally, I'll look back and be like, gosh, like I was in such a negative mindset that month. Oh, and look, it shows in our revenue. And like, there's like a direct correlation to those things. And a lot of times we don't realize it in the moment, but we're able to see it like in hindsight.
Yes, totally. Because if we don't catch it in the moment, we're going to learn the lesson, right? We're going to go through the lesson and then you're going to learn it. Hopefully you learn it the first time. Otherwise you keep going through it. But it can be hard, and it can be hard when we feel like, you know, as moms, as business owners, you know, we wear all of these hats, and it can be hard because our focus is split and we're trying to do so many things and be so many things to so many people. And so we sacrifice ourselves, you know. Even just, I often start a kick off my weeks with my clients saying, you know, hey, what's your focus for this week? What are we working on? How can I support you? But this week, because I know we just came off a long weekend, which people are like, oh, nice, a long weekend, less work. Well, yes, maybe. And also more work in a different way, right? Because There are often family dinners and events and gatherings. And so it's more work for us. And so this week, I started off my week with my client saying, hey, I know this is our usual focus, and I usually ask a variation of this question, but we just came off a long weekend. And what I want to know is, what are you doing for yourself this week? How are you prioritizing yourself? What are you gifting to yourself this week? And, you know, my clients were like, yes, this is so, it's true. It's so good. And it's important to give to yourself. It's important to give back. And that is also going to help you kick some of that comparison game and that imposter syndrome, because you are going to be taking care of yourself as a priority, not as an afterthought.
Yes. And I think too, making it a priority is probably the most important, because if we're like, oh, I'll get to it, we never get to it.
No, I always tell my clients, I say, look, and I'm a huge proponent for this. I do this myself. I will go in and I will bulk book appointments and or just blocks of time for myself and for self-care, whatever that looks like on that day. And I will go in and I will front load my calendar for 2, 3, 4 months at a time so that it's happening on a regular basis, because it's so much easier to prevent burnout than it is to recover from it. And so if you are not going into your calendar and making sure you are carving out time for yourself, whether it's a 10-minute meditation, whether it is a 30-minute walk around the block, a pedicure, whatever it is, if you're not doing that on a regular basis, I would really, really encourage you to do so. And that in and of itself will be a game changer, because you're going to have so much more energy, so much more inspiration, so much more to give to the people in your business and in your life.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Oh, I couldn't agree more. I live by my calendar, as I was joking before we hit record, but you're so right about scheduling it, because if you don't schedule it out, like, it's not going to happen. And I know that sounds so bad. And it's because we are people pleasers and we care about everybody else. Like, literally earlier today, I was talking with another entrepreneur and I was like, why is it that we'll spend like $200 on our kids and then like we question like the $15 top from Target? We're like, oh, maybe I should return it. Like, no, like, you deserve the $15 top.
You deserve the $500 top if that's what you want. You know, I mean, yeah, it's a funny thing, because we feel like, and we have been, you know, told by society that, like, just from the times and as we're growing up, that if you are a woman and you are a mom or you are a wife, your role is to provide for and care for everybody else around you. And their needs are what matter. And it is your job to fulfill those needs and to make sure that they are okay. They don't tell you about taking care of yourself, but I do remember one time my mom was a teacher and then she became a principal. And I remember one day I was probably an early teenager, and we were at the mall and she wanted to buy a new mascara and it was her payday. And she said to me, see, Lindsay, the thing is this, whenever you get paid, treat yourself to something small. It doesn't have to be big. It can be this like $6 Maybelline mascara. Buy yourself something so that it feels worth it. And so that you have put all that time and energy into whatever you are doing to earn money, whether that is raising your kids, whether that is working full-time, part-time, having your business, whatever it is, get yourself something, because you are worth it and you deserve it. And this will help keep you going, because you know that there is also a reward in it.
Oh my gosh, I feel like our moms could be BFFs. I love it. That is great advice.
Probably. My mom's pretty cool.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, I feel like I could literally chat with you all day. We will probably have to have you on the podcast again so we can dive even more into some of this goodness. But I want to give you an opportunity. If you can leave our audience with just one last piece of advice, what would it be?
Okay, this is such a hard one because I feel like I never stop talking. So I could give them so many. Honestly, though, really and truly, trust your gut. Trust your intuition. Say yes, even when you want to say no, if that no is based in fear. If that no is based in not just a fear, I'm not minimizing it, but if a no is from fear, push yourself, see how you can do it anyway. See how you can turn that no into a yes, because you are going to see a tremendous amount of growth come through those moments. And have some freaking fun. We don't have to have complicated businesses. Have fun. Otherwise, what are you doing it for? So I gave you three.
I mean, I'm a more kind of person, so that's perfect. Okay, where can everybody find you? I know they're going to want to follow along. Where can somebody work with you? Tell us all the things.
Okay, so I am most frequently on Instagram. I'm on there kind of nonstop. So my handle is at the Lindsay Stead. Will you put that in the show notes or should I spell it for them?
I will definitely put it in the show notes.
Okay, so at the Lindsay Stead, and then my website is also, it's just www.thelindsaystead.com. You can also find me on Facebook and LinkedIn and TikTok. You can find me in all the places, but Instagram is for sure where I hang out the most. And then I have a free Facebook group that people can also come and hang out in. And if they want to reach out to me on Instagram, I can send them that link.
Oh, perfect. And we'll put that in the show notes too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, thank you. Okay, perfect.
Well, thank you so much. This has been so fun and I cannot wait to do it again.
Thank you so much for having me, Amanda. Honestly, this has been, I've really enjoyed this chat and I really did not expect us to cover so much. I feel like we just did speed dating podcast conversation edition.
I agree. This was like a fun, hot hour and I feel so energized now. I'm here for it.
Thank you.
I'm over here doing a little happy dance because you just finished another episode of the Bold Business Podcast. Is it just me or was that filled to the brim with juicy goodness? If you're anything like me and are wanting even more business, marketing, and strategy tips coupled with real life, follow along with us over on Instagram at the Bold Business Podcast. And be sure to check out the show notes for any free resources, links mentioned, or coupon codes and more. And if you loved this episode, will you do me a favor and go ahead and tap that subscribe button and leave us a review? Until next time, and remember, let's be bold together.